Hello and welcome to Matt's Truck and Grep podcast. Matt Ireland hosting once again, and today I'm joined by young Billy Best. Billy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Matt. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm warm, but I'm all right.
It's quite warm.
It's turning a bit of a scorcher today. I did have a little bit of rain first thing this morning, but not a great deal. And the fields certainly need it, but I don't think there's any coming in the near future.
No.
It's a very British way of starting a podcast, talking about the weather.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, dear. Right then, Billy. So, for my listener, how on earth did you get involved in transport? The family connection, or how did you...
It was a family connection due to my dad.
Yeah. And he driver?
He was a driver.
Yep.
He used to be a tradesman. And then he got into lorry driving, wanted a change of career. And he thought, I'm going to be a lorry driver, just see how it goes.
Fair enough.
And he did that from when I was about 3 years old.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I fell in love with it.
Oh, fair enough. So you...
I absolutely loved it.
You would have been of an age where, like myself, you can't just leave school and drive a truck. So what would you do when you left school? Do you have a sort of plan? Were you working in a transport-related industry? Or?
My dad said to me, I've got no problem being a lorry driver. You do what you want, but as long as you get a trade for backup.
Boys.
So I did my school, did do very well, because all I cared about was lorries. And then I did bricklaying and got 2 diplomas in that.
Okay.
And then I turned 18 and got my HGV licence.
Fair enough. Did you enjoy the bricklaying?
I did enjoy bricklaying. I really did.
Yeah.
It's just, I just love driving even more.
Fair enough. Yeah. And I see you got to chase the dream, haven't you?
Absolutely. Well, there's no point.
Yeah, exactly. So when did you actually get driving then?
I used to do summer holidays with my dad because he used to do removals around Europe.
Right.
And then when I turned 18, I got my Class 2 licence. Because when I did it, you couldn't go straight to your Class 1, which now you can. But I got my Class 2 and I went on tippers for a company up in Cambridgeshire.
Yeah.
It was nights out, but it was on tippers. And I loved it, really enjoyed it, fell in love with it straight away. And then I did that for a year, got a bit of experience, learnt a lot, a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
And then I got my Class 1. And that was past that when I was 20. It was 20, just before lockdown.
Right, okay.
And then I went on walking floors. And it was just brilliant, amazing. Loved it. Felt on top of the world.
So with the tippers, was that grain farm work or what kind of work
it was? It was building site work.
Okay.
But it had asbestos in it, so I had to go to special places all over the country.
Ah, right, okay.
And then when lockdown came, we started doing treated human waste to farms as fertiliser.
Right.
Because obviously all the building sites were shut, but we had to find work somewhere, so we did that. And I enjoyed that even more than the building sites, because it was loading yourself with a digger, and it was just a great experience.
Yeah, fair enough. And
it was
just
really good.
A lot of variety, going to different farms and whatnot.
Yeah. Trying to find a farm with no address is an experience.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, welcome to Suffolk. It's pretty good. We're pretty good at that. Here, I can tell you. So, did that particularly smell?
It did at first. It did. And you just get used to it. You just don't start to smell it after a while. When it's hot, like, I don't know if you remember lockdown, but we had quite some heat.
Oh, yes.
And, yeah, it did start to smell after a little while, but you just get used to it. And then, it's just one less thing to moan about, really.
Yeah, true. I mean, I've done quite a lot of chicken litter in my time, so it's the same. You just get used to it.
Yeah,
I think you just lose your sense of smell. To be fair,
when you go into truck stops or services, you're not the most popular, but
That's it. Yeah, it's same with doing fish meal. Fish meal used to absolutely stink, and you get the smallest amount on you, and you just stunk of an old fish.
Yeah.
It was horrible. But again, you just don't notice. It's everyone around you that does. Dear, oh dear. So were you on the walking floors of the same company as the tippers?
No, so I did tippers with a company called G Webs, just based off the A14 at Bar Hill.
Yeah.
And then I was living down on the south coast, but I had to do the long trip up because it was the only place that would take me on because I was 18 years old and no one's insurance would take me.
Fair enough.
So I went to the company up here in Cambridgeshire, and I fell in love with the area, the farmland, the countryside. I loved it.
Yeah.
So that was up here as well. And then I worked for Williams Transport up in Huntingdon.
Yep.
Now, my dad used to work for them. He was outbased, and he did help me get the job.
Yeah.
And I tried to move up here. I was trying to save. And then things happened, and here we are.
Right, okay. So what happened then?
So I was driving me walking floor. I had a Scania. It was just a 450. It was nothing special, but I loved it. It was my world. Blah, blah, blah. Rest is history. Yeah. And then I was going between March and Chatteris and loaded with black bag waste, and I had a seizure behind the wheel.
Oh.
Broke my truck off into a field. No one else was hurt. I wasn't hurt, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the hospital, and they turned around and said, you have a brain tumour. That's why you had the seizure.
Flipping heck.
Yeah.
And how old were you at this point?
I was 22.
So 22 and told you've got a brain tumour.
Yeah.
Flipping heck. I mean, that must have just been, well, just shattering.
My world fell apart.
I'm not surprised.
Trucks are my life. And I get some people think it's a tool to do a job. 100% it is a tool to do a job, but you can have a shiny tool.
Mm-hmm.
And people, the older generation say, oh, well, it's not what it used to be. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right, but I don't know what that used to be like, so I can't miss it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, very true. You know, we live in a world of progress, and you've got a role that, you know, just because you haven't driven an Eaton twin split, it doesn't make you less of a driver than somebody else.
No.
It's as simple as that. It's like the world of electric trucks at the moment. I'm intrigued by them, and the only one I've driven so far, that was like a Rocket Man. And I do want to give a loaded electric truck a proper go at some point. I think that'd be good fun. But I'm digressing somewhat here. So could they operate on the tumour? Has it been removed?
It's been removed. And yeah. I had the seizure behind the wheel, and then my doctor said to me, if you have another seizure, we'll operate.
Right.
Okay, great. We knew it was benign, no cancerous or nothing, but it was putting pressure on my brain, which was making me have the seizures.
Right.
So he said, if you have a second seizure, we'll operate. At this point, yeah. I was off work because I just had an accident, and I was, I was just off work, and I couldn't deal with it mentally. It was ruining me.
Hmm.
And then I had another seizure at home, fell down the stairs backwards, and and then they said, we're going to operate.
Yeah.
At this point, we were doing research about HGV driving with epilepsy and stuff like that. And the rule was currently, if you have a seizure, one seizure, it's 5 years and no medication until you can get your HGV license back. Because I had more than one seizure, it's now 10 years. Anyway, so they operated on it. And it was all clear. I'm still getting all clears. Nowadays, I have yearly scans, and they're all going back clear. However, yeah. I'm still having the epilepsy episodes because there is now a gap where that tumour was, and it's now full of fluid, which you can't do anything about the fluid. That's just how the body heals.
Right, okay.
And that pressure on my brain from the fluid is making me now have seizures again. So it's great that I no longer have a brain tumour, but I'm having the seizures from it. So they can't operate, and when I'm on the meds, I'm absolutely fine, which I'm currently on now. I'm absolutely fine, no seizures.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I come off the meds, because I have to have 10 years seizure and medication free. So because I'm still on the meds now, my 10 years hasn't even started.
Flip it.
So I have tried to come off the meds the last couple of years to get the 10 years going. And because I've come off them, I've then had a seizure.
Right.
And then the 10 years start again, and then you're back on meds, and it's just a circle.
Yeah.
And I can't do nothing about it, but you just got to try and work with it. I've had some good things come, like I was working down on the south coast where I lived, and then my boss from Williams, the truck that I wrote off, he rang me up and said, I've got a 3.5-ton van. Do you want to come and drive it? Because I know you said you were talking about moving up here. And straight away, I said yes.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't not. His loyalty is obviously very obvious. I did write off his truck, and some bosses would go, I'm not letting you drive my vehicles, no way. But he understood, and they gave me the job again.
Fair enough.
It was just a little 3.5-ton van, and I love it. It's great. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So that's where we are.
You're currently driving that then still?
Well, so I'm currently off work again because I had another seizure in February because I tried coming off the meds again. And now you could argue, just stay on the meds. Yeah, I could just stay on the meds, but I need that HGV license back.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm having these seizures is because of the DVLA rules and regs.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't come off on meds, I probably wouldn't have these seizures. But I can't not try to get the license back because that is my life. If I'm not fighting for it, in my opinion, there's no point.
Yeah. So do you lose your car license after a seizure as well, then, for a certain amount of time.
So you lose, so from the day of the seizure, which is the February the 16th, if I'm correct, I can get my car back on February the 16th, next year, 2027, and stay on the meds.
So you lose it for a year, basically.
You use it for a year, but you can stay on the meds.
Right.
And I'll have a medical license. So I get basically medicals like you do with trucks every 2 to 3 years, and then they will renew my license.
Right.
Okay. And that's where we are at the minute.
So, okay. I mean, do you know if it's the same in Europe? Because I remember... I don't know if the laws on diabetes have changed, because I don't have diabetes, so I'm not too sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure up until, I don't know if it's changed or not, but I'm sure if you were type 1, you couldn't hold a class or C plus E. You couldn't hold an LGV license. Yeah. But in Europe you could, because a friend of mine was diabetic, but he was in Belgium, mm-hmm. and it's not a problem out there at all. So do you know if that's the same in Europe?
So we have this, so the rule at the minute is you have to be 10 years and 10 years medication and seizure free. So we have that law because it's an EU law. When we was in the EU, we had to take that rule on.
Yeah.
We are no longer in the EU. My argument is with epilepsy, it's looked as a blanket thing. You have epilepsy, you have a seizure, you're out. They don't look at it on a one-to-one basis, like things like MS and stuff like that. I'm arguing, why can't we look at it on a one-to-one basis? Because every seizure is different. Every person with epilepsy suffers with it differently. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Some people have seizures where they're constantly in it, and they have to have medication to get out of it. Whereas some, you'll have a fit, and then you wake up, and you're fine. Every person is different. No person is the same. So I was speaking to a medical professional, and because I am arguing about this law, and it's not me saying let everyone with epilepsy run riot with a HGV license. It's me saying, can we look at it on a one-to-one basis for each person? And I don't understand why we have to be off the meds. You are safer on the meds while driving than you are off them. But with the research and the medical professionals I've been speaking to, he works for the DVLA, but he is also a professional in epilepsy with tumours. And he said, you can go 10 years of medication free with no seizures, but you can go back in a truck for a week and you're still just as likely to have a seizure after that 10 years.
Yeah.
So he says, you are safer on the meds. I don't understand this rule of having to be off the meds. You can drive a car. Yeah. Meds. And yes, 3.5 ton and 44 ton are so different. Completely understand that. But I just can't get it why it's a thing.
Yeah, but if you're taking medication to prevent this happening, I guess their argument is, well, what if you forget to take it? Well, it's in your interest not to forget, isn't it? It's going to be like people who wear glasses. You put your glass on in the morning.
Exactly.
You know, it's just part of your routine. When
this rule came in, there was about 20 to 30 seizure medications available, and there's now 80.
Yeah.
Yes, every single one has side effects on paper, but not all of them actually affect the same person. It's like the current meds I'm on now. Right. They say, you can have tiredness, you can be fatigued, dizziness, and all that. I have not had any of them problems, but because it's on that piece of paper, it has to be as a side effect. And this is what I'm saying. It's different for everyone. You can find medication. There's 80 plus of them. You can find them, and you can see which ones affect you differently. Doctors can do the research. Doctors can test you and stuff like that. The epilepsy, everything around epilepsy has come so far in the last couple of years that I think this rule of 10 years seizure and medication free is so out of date. And I understand people's, if people are against it. Yes, you are driving a 44-ton truck with epilepsy, but you can have a heart attack behind the wheel, just like that, not even known. Go in, be operated on, and then be on meds for the rest of your life that you rely on. Because you can say, if you don't have that, you're likely to have another heart attack or another pass out or something like that. So you're relying on people to take their meds as well. Why can't epilepsy do the same?
Yes.
I can do as much damage in my car if I'm going quick enough and I'm driving like an idiot whilst having a seizure than I can in a 44-ton truck. Trucks have come so far recently as well. You've got emergency braking. You've got about 20 million cameras on it. And the truck knows what it's going to do before you do most of the time. And yes, we moan about it. Yes, they can be annoying. The beeping, the automatic braking, the alarms on going into a different lane. And it's there to cover your... Yeah. It's there to cover you. You see these videos of like Scania's doing the test, the brake testing and that, and the Volvos with the, I don't know if you've seen the video with the little blow up car on the runway and it stops just before it.
Yeah, I've been in one when they launched it. That was unnerving, sitting there in the passenger seat and just approaching this car with no pedals to press and my feet were sort of tapping on the floor because I'm just wanting a brake. And it just brought you to a stop. So it was very impressive.
When this rule came out, we were still driving Scania 4 Series, Volvo F16s and Turbostars and stuff like that. They're so different nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why you can have a heart attack behind the wheel, go through the operation, be on meds for the rest of your life. You can be back in HGV in 6 months to a year. With epilepsy, you're done for 10 years. And that's if you don't have any seizure within that 10 years and you're medication free. It's frustrating.
When you have a seizure, I just wanted to ask this, like, Are you aware of it as such, or it coming on? Or?
So this is what I'm saying when different people act differently. So for my seizures, my partner knows when they're coming. I just get a bit confused and I do black out, and that's because I'm not on the meds. I haven't had a seizure when I'm on the medication. I've had one seizure since being off the meds, and that's because I wasn't on the meds. And you're so much safer on them than you are off them. And some people know when they're coming. Some people are still with it when they're coming. They know, all right, okay, I'm having a seizure, just got to get through it. And then some people, they can be out for a large amount of time. And then some last 3 seconds, some can last 5 minutes. Some have to be seen by a doctor just to get them out of the seizure. Thankfully, I don't deal with them ones. But this is what I'm saying, when why can't we look at it on a one-to-one basis? Say if this does come out that they've changed the law, it might not help me. Like, I could be one of them people, you're not safe enough to have a license, HGV license, with the kind of epilepsy that you have, but it might help other people. I'm not just doing this for me, I'm doing this for everyone with epilepsy that drives a bus, a coach, a truck, an 18 tonner, everything,
any large vehicle.
It's such a big thing that people don't realize.
So because I didn't know whether, but I think if people are having a heart attack, you know that you're having it, and you can potentially get yourself even like on the hard shoulder and to label or just something. So I didn't know whether that is an option with your seizures. See what I mean?
Yeah, it is. I've had seizures where I know they're coming and you've got to be prepared for it. So if you're talking on that basis, I can pull over to the hard shoulder, have a seizure, but then I would have to call obviously the police and the ambulance, because some people, when they come out of the seizures, they're not all with it. They don't really know where they are. And you're so much more safer on the meds. I haven't had any seizures when I've been on the meds. Every single one I've had, obviously apart from one of the accident, has been because I've pushed myself off the meds to get this HGV license back. And I just think it's wrong. And I get it from people's on the other side of the argument, you're driving a truck with epilepsy. Yes, I am. But you could be, it's like when you get to a certain age with trucks, you get a medical every year. I have MRI scans every year at the minute. They know I've got a brain tumor before I do, because of these scans that they're doing. I don't, but they know it before anything else. And I think you could do a medical for epilepsy. You can do medication tests. So they say, is your meds still working? They can do tests on that. If you're having side effects, they can change your meds. There's so many to pick from nowadays. And I just think it's so outdated with the technology that trucks have, with the medication that we have, and the research that they've done on epilepsy in the last couple of years. I think it's so wrong that we look at it on a blanket basis.
Is this a hereditary thing? Is this sort of come from your parents at all?
Sometimes it can be, but from a personal my experience, no. It's just unlucky. The reason I have the seizures is because of the brain tumour. If I didn't have the brain tumour, I'd be absolutely fine.
They can't drain the fluid from that.
No, because I spoke about this. Obviously, I'm an ex-lorry driver. I'm not a doctor. And I said, can you not just drain the fluid and make it like okay? And they said, no, the fluid is there to protect your brain. your body doesn't, your brain doesn't heal like the rest of your body. If you have a scar on your arm, after a couple of years, right, that does go. Whereas I've now got a scar on my brain,
right,
it doesn't go. It doesn't go like a scar on your skin. So it would always be a problem. And the longer you go without seizures, the less likely you are to have them. However, that's with the medication. If you come off the meds, you are prone to seizures just from tiredness, fatigue, alcohol,
right,
stuff like that. Whereas if you're on the meds, it's so much more controlled.
Yeah.
And it's just, you can up the dosage, you can lower the dosage, you can change the medication for the side effects. If you're tired, you can call your doctor and say, I want to change my meds because I'm very tired, I'm very agitated. And I can change it just like that. The list they give you of medication is crazy.
Hmm.
And it's different for everyone, as I keep saying. And I just think we should not be looking at it as a blanket thing. We should be looking at it as a one-to-one thing.
Yeah, I'll get you. This episode of Matt's Truck and Grep podcast is kindly brought to you by DL Mills Transport. DL Mills provide general haulage. They also buy and sell hay and straw, and they can also transport it with their own lorry and drags. They also move plant and machinery with low loaders, and they also have hire equipped trucks. For any haulage, please get in contact with DL Mills. So what are you doing for work at the moment then?
I'm off at the minute. I can't work because I'm less than a year from a seizure, so I'm off work at the minute.
Could you go back to Brick Lane for a while, or
no? Because I wouldn't pass the medical. I wouldn't pass. I'm too risk. I'm too high of a risk on a building site.
Oh right, okay. I didn't realise that was such a thing.
Yeah, I'm too high. I have thought about it and I've done my research on it. And because it's still within the year of the seizure, it's very hard to do so. I mean,
right,
I could go and work in Tesco second shelves, but I can't work in a place like that. And my law is with Williams. He is taking me back after what I've done to his vehicles. And I don't want to get a job that I'm going to hate and ruin my mental health even more than just wait it out and wait for February to come back with my van back there. Because the very rare thing nowadays in this industry is loyalty. And I have to be loyal to him. I own pretty much everything. He's a reason why I moved up to Cambridge. He's a reason why I've still got work to come back to. I go down the yard to visit him. I went down last week and he asked about me, how are you? And he talks to me just like nothing happened. And he treats me like nothing happened. And for me, that is a rarity. And my loyalty is with my boss. And
So once you've got your license back, how long do you think you'll leave it before you try and come off the meds again then? Like a year or less?
I'm going to leave it a couple months. And after some research that I've done, if I come off them slower, so you can come off them as quick as you like, but you're more likely to have seizures again. You come off them slower, so you can go 100 milligrams, 75 milligrams, 50 milligrams, 25. Obviously, that's different. That's just basics. So if you come off them slower, so you do 75 milligrams for 2 months, 50 milligrams for 2 months, blah, 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 you're less likely to have problems when you're off them. If you come off them quicker, you're more likely because your body's like, whoa, hang on, where's my meds gone kind of thing. Whereas if you come off them slower, your body's like, okay, I can kind of deal with this. I know what's kind of going on.
Yeah, wean yourself off rather than go cold turkey.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my law is with my company at the minute. I can't do a job that I hate. All I've got to do is wait for February.
Yeah.
And it's just, I can't do it. I'm not asking for sympathy, but my mental health has been shot to pieces. I don't want to make it any worse. And you just got to get through it. I'm happy now. I've got nice things going on, but I don't want to make it any worse. And you've got to keep busy while I'm off work. You've got to keep busy. And you know, when you're off work for this long, you find a lot of things out about yourself. And you realise who your true friends are, that's for sure, definitely.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, certainly from a non-truck driving world, during COVID found that out when they were basically stuck at home with nothing to do. And it's just, you know, because I couldn't really think of it. I could do it for perhaps a week, sitting about at home, but I'd be bored.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, you know, that would drive me round the twist.
Yeah.
Well, this
couple of months off I've had, it's made me look into seizures, look into epilepsy, learn so much about what I've got and how I want to try and improve it, improve the system and stuff like that. And
yeah,
if I've got passion and got a lot of fight in me, I can't give up. And people have said, why don't you go and do something else? My doctors have said, why don't you go and do something else? I can't. Driving's my life. I was born to be on the road. I can't work in an office. I've tried that before. When just after the accident, I tried going on a weighbridge for a place down on the south coast, and I hated it. I absolutely hated it. Sitting in an office for 12 hours a day is not for me.
But also seeing trucks coming in and out every day.
Well, I thought that wasn't actually the problem. That was the nice bit about it, because I still felt like I was in the industry. But it was to sit in the office, just clicking a button. Yeah, you weigh this, you weigh that, goodbye. Yeah, you come in, green light, red light, barrier up, blah, blah, blah. And it was just so repetitive, so boring. Whereas on the roads, as many people listening to this know, it's different every single day. And even if you're doing the same runs, but you're your own boss, you can put your music on, you can have breaks when you want, when you need to. You don't really have your boss pestering you. You're left to your own devices. And that's what I enjoy, is the freedom.
Yeah.
I found that out at a very young age, that this is what I want to do. And I can't give up. And I can't stress it enough. I understand where people are coming from if they're concerned about what I'm doing, 100%. But you're safer on medication than you are off them. So people that are against what I'm doing, I completely understand why, and I completely get where you're coming from. But just hear me out, kind of thing. It is not me saying let everyone with epilepsy run right in a truck.
So, I mean, would you consider like doing a year on the van before you start trying to come off your meds?
I haven't. Not everything's set in stone yet. I want to see how we feel at the time.
Yes.
So, people to say, oh, just be happy in the van. Yeah, I am happy in the van, but I've got something to fight for. And if I've got nothing to fight for, there's no point. I've got to keep going.
Yeah.
And I will probably give it a good amount of time before I come off the meds.
Yeah.
But I've got to come off them at some point, unless the laws change. Yeah. Because
I mean, how likely is it to get somebody listening to get the change started?
From the research we've done, it's going quite in our favour. We've learned that the law is very outdated. When the law came in, there was about 20 medications for epilepsy. Now in 2026, as we speak, there's over 80. They've done so much more research on it. And like I said a minute ago, the trucks have come a long way as well. The safety features on them is insane. Sometimes you're more safer in a truck than you are in a car. I'm currently doing a petition to get the law changed. I'm sure Matt will leave a link to that somewhere on here.
Yeah, put that on the socials. It's not a problem.
But, it's just...
Have you found many other professional drivers who are in the same sort of position as you?
There's bus drivers. For instance, my mum's a bus driver. Her boss has a brain tumour, but his is inside his brain, so they can't be operated on. And he suffers with epilepsy.
Right.
He can't drive a bus ever again because he hasn't had the tumour removed. And he's on the medication. He doesn't come off them because he's older than me and he's got a family to worry about, whereas his attitude is, I'm earning a wage. That's all I care about. There's two young drivers that I also know. One bloke, he's just turned 18. He can't drive a truck. He hasn't even got his HGV license because he's epileptic. There's another driver that works for Stagecoach in Canterbury. He got his bus license when he was 18. At 19, he had a seizure, and now he can't get his license for 10 years. And that's without the meds as well. And people going about this driver shortage. I agree there is a driver shortage. Not the way people normally look on it, though. I think there's a driver shortage in the future because I don't know if you noticed, Matt, but there is a lot of older people in this industry. And at some point, these people are going to retire and there is less youngsters coming in. And the ones that do come in, they think it's a game. They think it's, see what we get out of it and crack on. And some of these young drivers, they put a bad name on the young drivers. It's why we get a lot of stick. They think they know everything and all this and that. What I learned very quickly is you can't look silly for asking questions. No question is a stupid question. You get more respect for asking a question than thinking you know everything. And I've met drivers that think they know it all. They mess up, don't admit it, and then it makes it so much worse. And there's people, and that is another reason why a lot of companies don't take on the young drivers, because they don't have the right mindset for it. And
getting tarred with the same brush.
And making your HGV license so hard to get, with so many people that are on epilepsy is mental to me. I've had so many people message me saying I've got them in the same situation as you. Before I did this petition, I thought I was on my own. I thought I was a one-off. But it turns out that I'm not. And there are so many people, not necessarily brain tumours, but they're epileptic. And they said the same thing. As soon as I come off the meds, I have a seizure. And then I start again. Whereas when I'm on the meds, I'm absolutely fine. I don't even have the side effects. But it's because of the rule of 10 years medication and seizure-free. I don't understand why you have to be off the meds. Maybe even make it 5 years seizure-free, but be on the meds. You know what I mean? So it's not me saying tomorrow, let's all give everyone with epilepsy a HGV license or a bus license. It's let's look at it from a different angle and do the research. Because it is such a it's such a hidden thing that no one realizes there's a problem. Epilepsy is so looked over, no one notices it. And it's just, I think it's time to change that.
Yeah. Is the best person to speak to your local member of parliament?
Yeah, so
is that the route you're going to go?
And I'm going to my local member of parliament. We're still doing so much research on it. We're not even finished yet, but we've done a lot already. It's looking in our favour. So we're going to do the petition, see how that goes. And then while that's, we've got till December the 8th, I think it is, before that petition closes. And see how that goes. At the same time, we're going to be taking, we've got about a 20-page research file thing full of facts and figures, positives and negatives of what this would mean. And we're going to go to our MP with it and just see how we go. In my opinion, I've got nothing to lose. The worst they're going to say is no. And I'm just back in the situation I was. So I may as well give it a go.
Oh, yeah, very true. Saying you've got a fight, haven't you?
I can't not, Matt. I'm too passionate about it. And there's probably people listening that think that's just a tool to do a job. It earns me a wage and stuff like that. And that's fine. That's how you want to do it. That's absolutely fine. But to me, it's my life. I like the shiny motors. They've still got to work hard, 100%. But it's just my life. It has been my life since I was 4 years old. And I said to my mum, sorry, I want to be a lorry driver just like my dad. I can't give that up now.
Yeah.
I can't give it up.
I think there's always been people of that, of the ilk of, there's the two camps, there's like, it's a tool, do a job. They'll come in, do their shift, go home, and it's just, that it's there, don't clean it or anything like that. Then you've got the others who it's your life, isn't it? You spend your time and your own money on it. You go to truck shows at weekends to talk trucks with like-minded people and stuff like that, you know.
And the people that aren't really into it, some of them, not everyone, some of them say, oh, you're sad for doing the truck up, you're sad for doing to the shows. But what I say is, I'm not asking you to do it. Our boss isn't asking you to get involved. So let me enjoy myself. It's my hobby as well as my job.
That's it. You know,
if you have a job you love, you never got to work a day in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people play golf. Yep. You know, I don't understand that. But, you know, well, I do knock friends, but only because they're friends of mine. Because everyone likes to take the mickey out of everyone,
absolutely.
Don't they? So.
Absolutely.
So I do give him a bit of stick for playing golf. Definitely not going to a truck show.
But it's like, I remember, Matt, when you was at Trans Am and you used to do the videos of you going through Russia and stuff like that. And I've watched them videos and I look at myself and think, I want to do that. I am going to do that. And my dream is to do Europe and the touring. That is my dream. It fascinates me and it's interesting and I just love it. There's another YouTuber, but he's a driver that does YouTube. And he works, is it CFL, the red dash with the red trailers that do the tours?
I
think it's CFL based down south. Something like that. He is really interesting. He tells you what you're doing, what he did wrong. He tells you what the new rules are, and he is really switched on. And I'm so interested in it. And I feel like I'm watching them as revision for when I do it one day. Because at the minute, it's not an option for me to say, I'm not going to do that. Because in my head, I still am. I'm still fighting for it. And it's not an option. So, I was very much told you've got to work from the bottom up. And I think I've done that. I've worked, when I was at G-Webs on the tippers, I had a 2012 MAN. And it was banged out. Rubbish, but I loved it because it was my first truck, and I'm sure people listening to this will never forget their first truck, whether it was 40 years ago or last week. You'll never forget.
Yeah, no, you don't.
So,
definitely not. I mean, my first truck was a 7.5 tonner, Sage 814, and I loved it. But then I got an 817 after that, and I was properly in the road. lot. And that was the days when the 7.5 tonners could do 70 miles an hour and use the outside lane.
This is what I mean, things change all the time. There's no reason why this couldn't. Do you know what I mean? It's like when I started walking floors on Williams, my first Arctic, it was a Mercedes with a Canapen trailer, and I looked at the thing on the plaque on the trailer. It was a 2008 trailer, but it was mine. It was falling apart, but it was mine. And then a year later, I got my Scania and a brand new Stas walking floor, and I absolutely adored it.
What do you think of the Stas?
It was I really liked them, and my one had an electric. You know the walking floors, they have the headboards that push it out.
Yeah,
my one, it was the headboard went out, and then it was attached to a massive, basically ratchet strap. You push a button and it reels it back in and it comes back up to the top.
Okay.
And I thought it was really interesting. And we were doing the rubbish and the paper to palm paper at King's Lynn. So with the rubbish, obviously a normal walking floor sheet goes straight across the top of the trailer. So you quite often get stuck things, you've got to push stuff down and all that. Whereas mine went up and over.
Right.
A bit like 8-wheeler tippers, but they go front to back. Mine went left to right and over and down. I just thought it was brilliant. Oh, yeah. It was really interesting. I think I really liked them. I never had a problem with mine. It was great. I mean, once my hub bearings went on the trailer, but that's more of a hub thing than the trailer thing.
That's it, right? rather than Stas manufacturing.
Yeah, the bearings just collapsed and that was it. I had spoke coming out the hub and I was like, what's going on here? Strap me axle up.
That's not a look. I did have once with me wood chip one. I've had a whole load of smoke, and to this day we don't know what it was, but that was proper smoking. And I thought, if this goes up, I've got a full load of wood chippings on. This is probably going to go up. But call out, mechanics came out. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find. I don't know whether the caliper just seized on for a little while or whatever. No idea. But you could see all the black from the smoke on the disc and whatnot. Mm. But never did find out what had caused it, and it then worked fine.
Strange.
Yeah, very strange. Just so, one of them things.
I wrote the trailer off in the accident, or the chassis was bent and everything. So what we had to do with that bag waste all over someone's onion field. I wasn't very popular, and neither was the company. But we sorted it out, and they put the black bag waste back in the trailer, towed it back, netted it all over, made it safe for the road, netted it back to the yard. My trailer still worked. The slats in the walking floor still worked. So they walked it out and walked it back in onto another trailer. And I just looked at it and I was like, how is that still working? After I've just bent everything that trailer has is now bent. And it's still pushing rubbish out. I was just like, fair play.
I mean, were you badly injured in that crash? I don't think I actually asked you.
No, I had some cuts and bruises. So what happened was I was going from Marsh to Chatteris and I veered off to the left. I jumped over a dike. And ended up in a field on my side. So my driver's side was against the ground. I look to my left and I see sky. And I had people around me ask, this is the first seizure I've ever had. So at the point, I didn't even know I had a seizure. And I wake up and I see myself on my side. And I thought, am I dreaming? This ain't real. This ain't happening. I look around and everything's coming together. Because when you come out of a seizure, you're a bit hazy and you don't really know where you quite are. So I looked up, I see people's legs. Just people's legs, that's all I see. And a big hole in my windscreen. Yeah. And I'm a person, fight or flight. So in my mind, I thought to myself, I've got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here, otherwise I'm not going to make it. You think worst case scenario. And so I was one of them drivers, no shoes in the truck. And the police had no problem with it. I said, I've got no shoes on. Yeah, no problem, that's fine, whatever. But I had my sliders from my wash bag, my flip-flops. Yeah. So I came out in white socks and sliders. And I it was a scene. It was definitely a scene.
It's good job the fashion police weren't there.
Absolutely. And it was a driver from Ken Thomas that rang the ambulance. And I will never forget it. If he's listening, he knows who he is. And he said to me, you've ripped your truck off. Are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what's gone on.
Yeah.
So I came out walking through the hole in my windscreen in my white socks and sliders. And I look back and I see my pride and joy looking a bit like a crumpled tin can.
Yeah.
And at that point, I couldn't even get emotional over it because I was so confused at what happened.
Yeah.
At this point, the ambulance and the fire brigade were already there.
Yeah.
All I cared about was getting my phone and my wallet because I needed to contact people sharpish.
Yeah.
And I say I was 20 then, so I was very young and I didn't really know where to start.
Yeah.
thankfully, this is what I mean by safety. My boss or my tracker, and someone obviously rang Williams. I mean, it's got RD Williams down the side of the phone number. Do you know what I mean? You see a truck in the middle of the field, you're going to ring the company.
Yeah.
And my boss, from what I understood, also rang the emergency services. And it seems like that trackers that can save someone's life and stuff like that, you're tracked all the time. So, yeah. And then I walked to the ambulance. I got drug and alcohol tested, 00. Mm-hmm. They even checked my phone to see if I was on my phone.
Yeah.
I wasn't. And they said, did you bite your tongue? Do you know where you are? And I said, I know where I am, but I don't really know what's happened. Yeah. Did you bite your tongue? Yes. You've had a seizure. And then I went to Huntingdon Hospital, had an MRI scan, and they said, you've got a brain tumour.
So is that so biting the tongue, that's a sign of having a seizure?
Yes. You right. proper bite it. Like you struggle to eat the next couple of days because it's right. so cool. painful. It is yeah. so painful. You look yeah. in the mirror and you just see scabs and scars and stuff like that. Cool. And it's really painful. That is the worst thing about it.
Yeah.
But the thing that got me is, I've always been one for wearing my seatbelt and all that because it just saved your life. It saved mine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the fire brigade said to me, have you got a modification with your seat? And I said, I had a lowered seat base. I don't know if you probably know, Matt. A lot of people put lowered seat bases in. The Dutch do it quite a lot. Mm. About a week before I put that in.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I've got a lowered seat base. So I sit slightly lower. And he said, that's what saved your life. Because the way it crumpled is the top of the door. If I was sitting at normal height, it would have gone straight into my head.
Cool.
So even to this day, I'm not saying I put a lower seat base in my car, but I put yeah. my seat all the way down as far as possible when I'm in my van. It's a slow down as far as possible.
Yeah.
And I can't drive a car without it. And it's just weird things that stick with you like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I was just amazed that I walked out. I think everyone was. Everyone was very much, be careful, be careful. You're going to hurt yourself. I said, I'm fine. I've just got cuts and bruises and stuff. I don't really know what's happened.
Yeah.
And then I had the big bruise across my chest from the seatbelt digging in and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's just little things like that that stick with you. I can't sit high up in a vehicle. It's strange, but
yeah.
It's just how it is.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So yeah. My boss at the time, I think he thought I was on my phone, I think, because he was very worried, very worried. But I think he was a bit dubious because I was a young driver, and it's that name, young driver. You think you're going to do something stupid.
Yeah.
But as soon as he found out I had a seizure, he was like, don't worry about it. It's just a bit of metal. We move on. Mm. Doesn't matter. I've got insurance. Yeah, it happens. It's what it is.
Yeah.
And then, and as I say, about 2 years, 3 years later, he rang me up and said, I've got a van. Do you want to drive it? And I said, but what about everything that happened? He's like, it's done now, isn't it? It doesn't matter. You can want to work for me or not, kind of thing. Very old school, very, very fair.
Yeah.
Which is why my law is with him.
Yeah. So what is the van actually out delivering then? Because obviously with Williams, most of it's obviously bulk stuff, isn't it? So
Williams Transport, they do walking floors, general haulage and pallet network.
Ah, right. Okay.
So I do the pallet network and I go I'm basically a posh delivery driver. I do deliveries to houses. I do the small pallets that you can pick up with your hands. There's no point taking a truck to. Even though it's a big factory and all this, there's no point taking a truck to it for one pallet that you can lift with your hands.
Yeah.
I've done some pretty interesting things with it. I've delivered to a model railway, a new train.
All right.
I've delivered a catwalk to some MAN dealer down in the southwest somewhere. That was a nice drive out. That was great.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. You meet so many people and it's great. It's really good. Yeah. People say, oh, pallet network, it's a bit of a pain, blah, blah, blah. It's very much what you make of it.
Yeah.
You meet some strange people, some brilliant people, and some not so nice people, but they're people, and you're out on the road, and it is what it is. Do you know what I mean? You do the same with walking floors.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'd be exactly the same in an Arctic, wouldn't it? I mean, I did a little bit of agency work a couple of years ago for a company called Lombard Shipping in Ipswich, and that was on pallet network stuff in a 17-tonner. Oh, I really enjoyed it. You know, start getting at 8 o'clock. Once the trunk is back and they've loaded your trailer or your truck, and then just strap it all down, multi-drop. Yeah. I think the furthest I went from Ipswich was Bury St Edmunds.
Yeah.
Come back, do another run, and then collections in the afternoon.
Yeah. You can get 6 pallets on my van, 6 full-size pallets. If you play it right, you can get a few more euros on it because they're a bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how many light pallets you get, because I thought 3.5 ton, you're going to fill it up so quickly.
Yeah.
And you do, I used to do 3 runs a day. So 6 pallets, come back, 6 pallets, come back, 6 pallets, come back, and then go and reload. And it was, it's easy. People moan about it. It's easy. And that might just be the way my company do it. But it was easy. I really enjoyed it. It was great. But it's not the Arctics. It's not the nights out. It's not cleaning your motor, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for what I've got. I really am. But
I wanna
fight it and just crack on.
Yeah. Fair enough, mate. Fair enough. Yeah, lovely. Well, I think I've taken up enough of your time, Billy.
And, it was very enjoyable.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And if you send me a link for your petition, I'll get it put on the socials.
Yeah, no problem.
And good luck with it. And we'll see how it goes. We'll perhaps touch base next year and see if there's been any progress.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
I hope I haven't bored too many people. And I hope people have enjoyed my story.
Well, you never know. There might be someone who listens to this that was feeling alone like yourself because they're suffering from a similar thing.
Yeah, and the thing they've got to do is talk to people. Don't boil it up. Yeah. It ain't worth it.
Yes,
we're all big, hairy lorry drivers, blah, blah, blah. Talk to people. Yeah. Don't try and play the hero. It's not worth it.
Yeah. So, have you got like a Facebook group set up for people in the petition? Or
I haven't. But if you find me on Facebook, my account's public. If you've got any questions, give us a message, and it's absolutely fine. If you even just want to talk about how you feel, like whatever, just talk about anything. I'm open to it. If you've got questions, you want to ask how I got through it, blah blah blah. Just give us a message, and I'll get back to you.
All right. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Lovely. Right. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day, Billy, and we'll speak soon.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you very much.
Lovely. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Ta-da. Bye. Bye. Bye.